Well, hey, good morning, everybody. This morning, we're going to be talking about fake news. And big in the press lately, and what God's, in particular, we're going to look at what God says about it and the broad aspects of it that infiltrate our lives and what we hear all the time, not only in media, but all over the place. So, and what God's Word says about it to protect us from the negative influences of that type of fabrication. So, but this morning we also celebrate a different kind of news. Earl and I were talking about it. We gathered to celebrate the good news, right? The good news of faith in Jesus Christ and our salvation in Him. So let's stand and we'll worship together as we praise Him.
Morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I had just a few announcements for you. I was out riding my bike yesterday and I rode by a person's house who I'd met once before, and they said, "Hi, Dean," and I figured I better stop and see if I could remember who it was. And it was a person I'd met, and we started talking about, I remembered that they had a fire at their house, and it was interesting. I said, "What was that like?" And she talked to me. I said, "Well, it was such a tragic loss for them." And I said, "Well, how did that go?" And she said, "You know, a lot of people kind of pass it off like it was nothing, you know, oh, that's just things you lost." And she said, "You know, it was more than that for us. It wasn't just that. They were nice words, but they didn't work. And the more we talked, we realized, she and I, that it wasn't the loss of those things. Those things represented family times and things in her family." And I was just thinking about what Skylar shared. It represents sometimes how much you care for each other. Boy, God created family. God gave us family. It was so encouraging to hear Skylar share that, boy, they care about their family. They care about each other. And so I thought we'd just pray. And, you know, family is something. And just thank God for giving us families and those who care about us. Let's stop for a minute. And God, thank you for life. The reason we have families is because you're the giver of life. Thank you that we really care about is each other. Thank you that you've inspired us to that. Help us deal with situations as they change and the things we don't understand in the moment, but you use for good in the long term. Amen. All right, just a few announcements. Our biggest thing coming down the road very quickly is our children's program, our Awana program, starts Wednesday, September 13th, which is 2 weeks from this Wednesday. There is a leaders meeting. It's in your bulletin for all the leaders in Awana and interested in serving in Awana. In a week and a half on September 6th, please plan on coming to that if you can. This Wednesday, if you can make it at 6:30, we're going to go around and follow up and just hand out invitations and invite people to join our Awana program and just try it out. We've got some families to follow up with who visited our teen conference and our teen activities. So I want to get here around 6:30 if you can, let me know, because it's starting to get dark a little earlier, and we're just going to hand out invitations and invite people to join us. So that is all the announcements I had for today. So this is the time in the service where we will take our offering, and the ushers will come forward. If you're interested in giving electronically, there's information in your bulletin on the bottom page about that. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's hard to follow Skylar. Is that how you are, John, when Eric goes away to college? Now, brothers are different. They're just like, oh, good, more room for my stuff. You know? Nah, I'm kidding. I'm sure I should just stick to the script. Well, today we're closing our series out on ambassadors in a polarized world. And we've looked at many of the hottest topics in our culture today and what God says about these hot topics. And how we, especially as Christians, are supposed to walk as ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ in this world. That's why we're calling ambassadors in a polarized world. And we're to walk as ambassadors, as representatives of Christ in this world around all these hot topics. We're not to avoid these topics or skirt around them, but be right in the middle, be a voice right in the middle. And how we think about them and how we act, behave, and how we talk, communicate with others, and all that stuff. So we saved we're doing fake news at the end, probably because it's the weirdest topic, but it's a big topic in our society, and believe it or not, God has a lot to say about it. How many of you guys have ever heard the expression fake news before? Yeah, I expected to hear everybody. And how about 2 years ago? How many of you heard the expression fake news 2 years ago? Not me, not too many hands, in fact, no hands that came up. And so it's a new term to me for sure. But nowadays, as you know, it's thrown out every day in the media. It's like you can't get away from this word, fake news. It's like constantly out there. And it's really come into the national spotlight in this past election cycle in 2016, and especially due to the influence of social media, which has kind of been new in our country and how it influences the way people think in different ways. Some of you may have heard that Facebook was in the crosshairs lately, and the CEO is really scrambling to try to fix what they're being accused of, really being in the crosshairs for propagating fake news. And so I looked it up. In 2016 in Facebook, here are some of the fake news stories that went around Facebook. Obama bans Pledge of Allegiance in schools nationwide. I don't know if you guys saw these. If you're on Facebook, if you see these, they pop up every once in a while when you're on Facebook. WikiLeaks confirms Hillary sold weapons to ISIS. These are real fake news stories that were big in 2016. Thousands of people at a Donald Trump rally chanted, "We hate Muslims." Fake news. Democrats want to impose Islamic law in Florida. Fake news. Pope Francis shocks the world and endorses Donald Trump for president. This one had 1 million people that responded to it, that engaged in it in some way, either shared it on their Facebook page to all their friends, or liked it, or disliked it, or commented on it. 1 million people commented on that fake news. But it was all fabricated, all of it. All of these stories that propagated around. So the CEO of Facebook is scrambling to try to fix their algorithms or whatever, try to flag these things. So what does God's word have to say about fake news? Why are we even talking about fake news on Sunday morning from the pulpit? After all, the Bible was written thousands of years before Facebook even existed, right? And believe it or not, the Bible was written before cable news, before broadcast news, before smartphones, and young people, don't gasp too loud, before the internet. Believe it or not, the internet did not exist in the day of the Bible that was written. But what we'll find is that God, as always, has tons of principles, timeless principles that can be extracted from the pages of His Word and applied in a gazillion scenarios that come up in modern society today. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. As Christians, we want to see what God has to say so we can be safe as we walk through this minefield in this modern culture. So let's pray as we look at God's Word this morning. Father, we tell you that we're just amazed at all the stuff that's out there. It overwhelms us sometimes, and yet you always come through with some words of encouragement, some words of guidance, some words of truth, just like how you comforted and shared with Skylar when she was going through that trial and pain in her life. And Lord, in the same way, you do that all the time with all the things that we go through. Thank you for your word. You said your word is living and active, living and active. That means that it's active today in our lives. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We ask for your truth and your guidance today as we look at this topic. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first step to avoid being influenced by fake news is to be aware of its existence. I think everybody is now aware of its existence. So first, let's just look at what the definition of fake news is. There's actually many different types of what you could categorize as fake news. One is satire or parody, like The Onion. Has anybody read that kind of stuff? Or I guess there's a Christian version, the Babylon Bee. Yeah, there's some funny ones on there too. But this type of fake news, its intention is not to cause harm at all. And yet it does fool some people some of the time. But its intention is to do what? To be funny. It's just comedy, right? Okay, what's a different type of fake news? Is fabricated news, like some of the headlines that I read to you earlier. This is totally made up news, some oftentimes with no basis of truth, or just maybe a little kernel of truth that then a whole fabricated story was made up over it. It's a hoax. And this type of news has given birth to websites that people flock to check news stories, like Snopes. Has anybody ever gone to that? Or I think there was an Urban Legends. I don't know if that's around, but Snopes is definitely still around. Big news site, or a site to validate news stories. One analysis that was done during the 2016 election showed that the top 20 fake news stories received more engagement on Facebook than the top 20 real news stories. Isn't that amazing? That's how fake news has infiltrated our society. Fabricated news. Okay, next type, propaganda. This has been around forever. We all know this, what this is. For some of you that don't know, it's information presented in a non-objective way, usually using loaded language. Its goal is to influence your opinion on a certain topic. It's often manipulative because it only presents, selective information rather than the whole story. And it's very extreme bias usually, and oftentimes its goal is to elicit an emotional response and say, you know, oh my gosh, I'm not going to vote for that guy. Look, he's a crook, you know, because you get something in the mail that says he's a crook or whatever. So propaganda. And then there's sensational news. And this historically was called yellow journalism. And I looked it up. I don't think it's racist. Barbara, was that racist? No. Apparently the origin is they used to use yellow ink, or there's something with yellow ink to make eye-grabbing headlines or something like that. You can research it on your own. But at any rate, sensational news, the idea there is its goal is to exaggerate facts, or to focus on the sensational aspects of a story with eye-catching titles. And what's the purpose? Well, the original purpose of it was to sell more newspapers. You know, you see a title in yellow ink, you're like, whoa, and you pay and buy the newspaper because you want to read about that. Nowadays, the same kind of sensational news is around on social media, right? And what's the goal nowadays is just to get you to click because they want to drive traffic to their website to sell more ads. It's all about money. That's the purpose of sensational news, typically, to get more income, to get more revenue. So in summary, I would say the objective of all these types of fake news is to present information with a different goal in mind other than just presenting the information, right? There's oftentimes a hidden agenda. Oftentimes it's biased, but there is an agenda behind it, sometimes even hidden. So how long do you think fake news has been around for? Do you think it's only been around since you've heard about it, the last year or two? No? How many of you think it's been around 10 years or more? All right, how about 100 years or more? How about 1,000 years or more? Okay, all right. In fact, I researched this to find when was the original fake news story, and I found it. This is the original documented fake news type of story. And I'll read you the content around it now. Here it is. This is the content around it. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." And here you go. The first documented fake news story. you will certainly not die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit from the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The serpent delivered fake news to Eve. It was fabricated. It was sensationalized. It was propaganda. There was an ulterior motive behind it. Very similar to a lot of fake news that we read on media today. The motive that the serpent had was to undermine God's trust in this case. It was to undermine God's trust, to contradict God, and to tempt Eve to sin. And of course he did, and Adam did, and it worked. The entire human existence is really defined by the damage that was done by this fabricated story from the serpent. Within the church, a type of fake news is fake theology. You know, and the Bible talks about this. It can come through false teachers. Peter said, but there were also false prophets among the people. So this was even from the beginning of the days of Israel. There was false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. So just like there were false prophets in days of old, he was warning the church, there will be false teachers today in the church. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. We see here that fake theology, fake teaching can have a lot of the same attributes as fake news. False teachers teaching fabricated stories with an ulterior motive. What was the ulterior motive in this case? Greed. In their greed. Greed was the motive. These teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. And I don't know if you've watched what's happened in the church over the last 50, 60 years. I mean, you see this lived out. You see greed motivate false teachers fabricating stories throughout the United States and the world. Biased teaching in the church. So be aware is the first step. Be aware that fake news and its many different forms that infiltrate even the church is around you all the time. The next principle to avoid being influenced by fake news is to be discerning. And the key here is to not take everything that you hear at face value. Don't take everything you hear at face value. I think we ought to put up a little bit of a buffer to kind of give a pause, you know, and what do they call it in electrical engineering? I should know that. I was just reviewing my old electrical engineering notes, but something that kind of slows things down a little bit. Yeah, all right, yeah, whatever. You could. They all work. We'll include them all, yeah. So we ought to do that, have some sort of a little bit of a, let's say a capacitor, kind of store it for a little while. Before we just like immediately accept it, you know. So be discerning. Here's a principle, a proverb that talks about that. Any story sounds true until someone tells the other side and sets the record straight. I like this version of it. The context is in a court setting, a legal matter, but it really applies in the broader application is to anything like that. A story sounds true if you just hear one side until someone else comes and sets the record straight. And so to be discerning is to kind of pause on that before you fully accept it and hear the other side of the story. Wait on it. Store it in your capacitor for a little while and be discerning about it. A Gallup poll this June showed that only 27% of Americans said that they have a great deal of confidence in news media. Does that surprise you? No, you know, in fact, it was even worse in the fall of 2016. It was down to an all-time low of 20%. Only 20% of Americans said that they have a great deal of confidence in news media. And I know at that time in my life, I was also very extremely low in my confidence of news media. And so I started doing a little research on, okay, what is the bias of all these different news outlets that surround us all the day? And I found this chart. This chart is not a perfect chart. you know, it's very subjective, but I saw a lot of charts, and I thought this one was pretty good compared to some were biased charts in and of themselves. But this one wasn't too bad, and the idea here is shows the bias in news. And so the ones on the right are more biased to the right, and they get even more extreme biased, and then the ones on the left are more biased on the left and get even more, right? And so keep in mind, these are most of the major news outlets are on this chart, you know. And you can disagree, oh, that one should move over a little bit or here or there, but the point is there is bias in most of the media outlets in our country. And so when you read news stories from these outlets, keep in mind where they are coming from. Keep in mind, be aware, be discerning. Okay, this is coming from this source, this is their bias. This is coming from this source, this is their bias. Keep that in mind, be discerning. In regards to Christian teachings within the church, it's really the same principle at hand. You need to be discerning on what teachers are sharing on the radio, on TV, in books, even at church. Paul was explaining to the early church how God used the apostles and the early leaders of the church to ground people in their faith. And the purpose, he said, was this. He said in Ephesians, it was, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. He was teaching and equipping the church for what purpose? So that they wouldn't just be tossed around by every wind, every idea out there, every teaching, every wind, every wave of every thought and every teaching, but that they would be grounded and rooted so that when the wind and the waves splash against them, they're rooted in a foundation of the truth in God. And I was thinking about, you've read about the, or heard about the hurricane that hit Texas this weekend, and hurricanes do tremendous damage to the coast, and they did in this case as well. And it's the same thing. If we're not rooted, if we don't have a strong foundation, when that wind and waves of all these different doctrines and teachings come at us, oftentimes by cunning and crafty people and deceitful scheming, it can wreck our lives in different ways. It can wreck our faith. It can wreck our beliefs in different ways. So we need to be discerning. It's the same with all of us in our faith. So, fake news both inside and outside of the church can do damage. So don't accept everything you hear at face value. Be diligent. The third principle to avoid damage in your life and fake news is to be diligent. In other words, don't just recognize that bias, but then be diligent to follow it up, to see, to discover what the truth really is. Search out the truth for yourself. When I discovered this news bias chart, what I did to use it, I think there's a pointer on here, right? This one right here? Oh, okay. So what I did, and this is just me, I was just going crazy with all these news stories coming at me, contradicting. So what I did, what I decided to do at that time is on my phone, I downloaded three apps. No, it doesn't work. Oh, the green one. Gotcha. Okay. So I downloaded three apps on my phone. I downloaded Fox News, which is securely on the conservative side. I downloaded the CNN app, which is securely on the left side. And then I downloaded AP News, which is right in the middle. Or you could argue that that's probably a little over here. Whatever. It doesn't, you know, I mean, everybody has got their opinion, right? But I also read the Chicago Tribune, which isn't on here. I would, just my personal opinion, I'd probably put the Chicago Tribune right about where the Wall Street Journal is, kind of a little right, but not still kind of neutral, and, you know, fairly good, fairly neutral. You could argue with that too, I guess. But at any rate, so that's what I did. And then what I would do is I would read the news stories on the Fox, how Fox was reporting it, knowing that they're a right-leaning bias. And then I would read the news story from CNN, knowing that they're a left-leaning bias. And then I would see, all right, how did AP report the same story? And then I'm always reading the Tribune. But at any rate, I don't think everyone has to do that, but that's, to me, it was a way for me to kind of be diligent, to kind of filter out some of the bias that's coming through all these news stories, try to get at the truth. Like I said, I don't think everybody needs to do this. It's just what I did. Within the church, we're to be diligent as well in the preaching of the Word and the receiving of teachings on the Word of God. So when I prepare a sermon that I share, I check, I try to make sure my teaching is sound, because it's really too risky to preach in a sloppy fashion, and so I check every verse that I'm sharing against other theologians, commentators that I trust, and kind of to make sure that my interpretation, that I'm not interpreting this wrong, that I'm not missing something, that I'm sharing a verse that's well grounded in truth. James said this about teachers. He said, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." And so we need to be careful when we teach, not just from the pulpit, but you guys that are teaching in Sunday school, you guys that are teaching in Awana, you guys that are leading, teaching Bible studies, in every context, even when you're sharing verses with each other and what you think this verse means, be careful, because you will influence people. But did you know that we ought to not just be diligent in our teaching, but also in our receiving of the Word, in our hearing of teaching that we receive? We ought to be diligent there, too. One of the most classic examples is the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, where Paul was sent to Berea, and he said this about the Bereans. He said, in this city, he said, "These Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." They were discerning. They kind of paused on what Paul was sharing. They didn't readily accept it. Instead, they paused, they held it, and then they researched it themselves. They looked into it themselves. Did they test Paul's teaching against political mainstream thought? No. Were they testing Paul's teachings against cultural thought? No. They were examining Paul's teachings, it says, testing them against the Scripture, against the Word of God, against the Scriptures that they had in that day. And we're to do the same thing, to test what we hear against the Scriptures. When you hear a new teaching or something that doesn't resonate with you inside, or you're like, "I don't know if that's correct, you know, I don't know about that. Is that true?" We're not to just accept it, be lazy about it, but we're to be diligent and to research it for ourselves. Look into it. And it's the same with news. Okay. The last principle that we're going to discuss today is to be open to the truth. And the idea here is that often we have our own personal bias, right? So when we're the reader, we're the hearer, we're hearing news, and we're filtering it through our own bias when we accept it. And what's funny is, and I find myself doing this, we more quickly accept fake news when it aligns with our own personal bias, don't we? You know, it's a double standard. When we hear fake news story that's against what we believe, we come down on it hard. But when we hear fake news story, we're like, "Oh, wow, look at that. You know, share it with our friends," you know. Because it's our own personal bias is like a tear in the filter, and it's just letting stuff come in to our lives without discernment, without being diligent. So we need to be careful about that. Paul spoke out against this in the church, this principle when it comes to doctrine. He said, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Now, the context here is the end times, but I see this going on in our society today. People turning away from sound doctrine to listen to teachers that teach what they want to hear, their own personal bias. And often that bias is influenced by things outside of the Word of God. They turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. The broader application here is that we can tend to be biased in who we listen to. And so the challenge is this: are you open to truth even if it doesn't necessarily align with your belief, you know, your position on something? I'm not talking about the core Christian message, the core Christian truth. I'm more talking about fringe areas or you know, cultural areas and whatnot. Are you open to the truth, or do you reject it too easily and only listen to teaching that aligns with your bias? Bad interpretation runs rampant when it supports someone's beliefs. In the church, I'm talking about. One of the worst examples of this in the history of the church was during colonial days around the topic of slavery. And rather than speak out against slavery in unity as a church, the church was split, and there were teachers and Christians supporting slavery in the church, believe it or not. And what they used scripture in a twisted way. One scripture that they used, I researched, was called the Curse of Ham. And it was about when Noah's family was back on land, Ham did something that was ungodly, and Noah gave him a curse, cursed him. And what Noah said, this is, you can look this up later if you want, Genesis 9:25, Noah said this, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." And that was Ham's son. And so back in that day, in those colonial days, some of these preachers were preaching that because Ham was traditionally understood as an ancestor to the African people, preachers in England and America were using this passage to justify slavery. But guess what? It was totally a wrong interpretation, because not only was it wrong, But the person that Noah cursed was not Ham, but Canaan. And Canaan didn't settle in Africa, but in the land that Israel would later claim. It was totally even based on a wrong assumption and wrong realities. But regardless, lazy preachers and Christians took this teaching at face value. Why? Because they were biased towards, some were biased towards slavery, and they accepted it as such. But it was an evil belief. At the end of our recent vacation that I shared about the last time I spoke, we stopped on the way home at this museum called the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Look at that thing. Is that awesome or what? Those are people down here, you know. And at any rate, it was cool. I could go on about some of the cool things in there, but it was a full replica of Noah's Ark, obviously with a lot of creative license, because the main thing we know is the measurements and a few other little details. But we were impressed with one room in particular. Both Barbara and I commented on it. It was talking about population expansion post-flood and all this stuff. And we were impressed that they had a clear refutal of slavery and racism clearly laid out in this museum, and showed that the biblical truth is that there's only one human race that came out very strongly, and that we're all created in the image of God. So we have to be careful about twisted scripture, readily accepted because it matches our belief, which may not be God's truth. It may be actually totally opposed to God's truth, like this in this case. And James said this about why we need to be humble and open to God's word. He says, we need to be humble in that way. He says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." In other words, we need to be humble to accept the word that's planted in us, the truth that's planted in us, to align our minds, to renew our minds in God's truth. It takes humility. Because we may believe things, and we do. I guarantee all of you believe things that are against God's word. I know I do too. We all have biases. We all have beliefs that aren't in alignment with God's word. It takes humility for us to be willing to accept God's truth and to change our minds, renew our minds, and align them with God's will, with God's truth. Because only His truth can be trusted. Only His truth is accurate. The reception of this is marked by humility. The Awana theme verse instructs us in this as well, right? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is an instruction to us all to correctly handle the word of truth. Don't grab a verse and apply it to your system if it's not really a correct handling, if it's not a correct interpretation of that verse. if you latch on to something too quickly, you may be propagating lies or at least incorrect interpretations. Don't easily accept shaky teaching or fake news just because it aligns with your bias. Be humble, open to researching the truth. As we close, the challenge is this. The challenge is when you hear biased or fabricated news, or you hear teaching that you're not sure about, the question is, do you recognize that it might be fake or biased? Do you easily accept it without checking the source? Do you spread gossip or slander just by virtue of what you accept and share with others? Do you do your research to confirm its veracity? Do you check your bias at the door and ask the Lord to lead you in truth despite your bias, even if it means changing your position on something? Don't be lazy in your handling of news, information, teaching, what people are sharing in social media, at church, all around you. Be aware of the bias that you receive in everything that you hear. Be discerning of it. Be diligent to research the truth and be open to the truth. If you do these things, then fake news in any form won't harm you. You will stand firm in God's truth and be built up all the days of your life. Let's pray. Father, we're only on this earth for a short period of time, and then we'll be in heaven with you through faith in you, through a belief in you, through what you've done for us, Lord. And then all things will be clear, or at least all things we won't care about anymore because we'll be with you, Lord. But we are in this world today. We are on this earth, and it's shaky. The winds and waves are all around us in the media, in beliefs that float around all throughout and that even infiltrate the church at times and infiltrate misinterpretations at times of your word. Lord, help us to be strongly rooted in your truth, that we aren't swayed, that influenced negatively by fake news, fake teaching, fake information, Lord. Protect us, guide us. In this we pray for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.